Let's pray. Father, it's exciting to study a topic that is very precious in your sight, and that is a gentle and quiet spirit in a woman. And Lord, just from the song that Sandy sung and just knowing about your Holy Spirit, Lord, how gentle and how quiet he is, and yet how full of power. And Lord, how we pray that this morning you would open our hearts, and Lord, we would not be the same women as we leave as when we came in, and that we would have a desire, Lord, to please you and to have a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the King James, we have meek and quiet. In the Phillips, calm and gentle. And in most of the rest of the translations, a gentle and quiet spirit. And this is in 1 Peter 3:3-4. And let not your adornment be external only, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry and putting on dresses. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And this is from the Living. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty that depends upon jewelry or beautiful clothes or hair arrangement. Be beautiful inside, in your hearts, with the lasting charm of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. As I began to study this morning, another verse came to mind, and it was 1 Samuel 16:7. And the last part of that verse says this: For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And one of the questions for our study group this morning is, why is it so hard for us to see inward beauty? And it seems like that this is something we really need to pray about and work on, and to see things from God's point of view, that what's beautiful to him is what is inside, whereas we judge immediately by the outward appearance. Let's look at the definition of a gentle and quiet spirit. Originally in the Greek, it's translated meek, which means gentle and calm. But underneath that, it's the fruit of power. It is strength under control. You know, in Matthew 5:5, it says, Blessed are the gentle, or blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I always thought, well, how is a meek person going to inherit the earth? But let me explain to you what meek really means. It's a Greek word, and they use the same word for breaking horses. They would take a wild horse in, and they would begin to break it and to train it and to put a bit in its mouth and to control it. And when the horse was broken and under control, they used, this was a meek horse. So now the horse has not lost any of its strength. It still has all the power, all the beauty, all that God created that horse to be. The only thing is now it is under control. It is useful. It is strength under control. That is what meekness is. A meek person is one who is strong, but is under control, under God's control. And that's why happy are the meek, for they will inherit. These are the type of people that are going to inherit the earth. They're under control. Their strength is under control, and they're powerful. They're very useful. They're not insipid, doormat-type people. That's not what meek means. Strength under control. It is the opposite to self-assertiveness and self-interest. Because, see, no longer does that horse do exactly what he wants to do. He does what his master wants him to do. Same with us. It is an equanimity of spirit that is neither elated nor cast down, simply because it is not occupied with self at all. Boy, that's a goal to reach for, isn't it? An equanimity of spirit. It's just all the time we're the same. In fact, it says that in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and yes, forever. And Jesus had this, didn't he? And if He is in us and we want to be like Him, then we want to be the same yesterday and today and yes forever. And how neat it is. I don't know if you've ever had a friend, whenever you were with her, you were never quite sure what she was going to be like. And that's really frustrating, isn't it, when you're not sure. And I'm sure Jack gets frustrated with me sometimes. You're not sure when I wake up what I'm going to be like that day. Am I going to be the same? Am I going to be myself, or am I going to be in a mood, or whatever it might be? But a person, a woman with a gentle and quiet spirit is even, equal. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, you know how she's going to be. You know how she's going to respond. A person with a meek spirit does not create disturbances. That was one of the things in the Greek there of the definition. Quiet. Tranquility arising from within, causing no disturbance to others. I was thinking, Sandy, when you were going over the fruit of the Holy Spirit, there are another three classifications. The first three are Godward, love, joy, and peace. The next three are directed toward man, patience, kindness, goodness. And the last three come from within, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, or self, toward ourselves. So that's just another way of remembering. But this is what quiet is. It comes from within. It's our spirit, which on down here is our disposition, the normal or prevailing aspect of one's nature. Several years ago in San Antonio, some of us, there were several single girls and some married wives who were playing volleyball. And some of the young guys around in the army bases around there would come around and they'd watch us play. And we'd get real excited and we'd yell and we'd just have a really good time. And then all of a sudden we heard some of these young guys saying, they don't have a gentle and quiet spirit. And so, you know, as we talked about that and we shared, we realized, you know, they need to realize that being quiet doesn't mean that you can never laugh or have a good time or do things or say things. Does not mean you sit in the corner and never say anything, or that you sit by your husband and never say anything. Quiet is something that's from within. And as we get into this, the thing that I learned more than anything else that is so beautiful to God is a woman's spirit who is at rest and secure in God. It's just that underlying spirit that's at peace. You see, one of the definitions here is peaceable. Secure in Christ is what I put. I just feel like that's what's precious to God. No matter what happens, we're secure, we're at peace, we're at rest. Underneath it all, there's a peaceful spirit in our hearts. Bearing with tranquility the disturbances caused by others. That's another definition of quiet. When other things are going on, we're able to bear with tranquility the other things. What is it that, I cannot remember the exact quote, but you get the idea, you know, when everybody else around you is losing their head or it's all panicky and you're calm, you don't understand the situation. And there's a little plaque like that says that. But see, that's not true for the Christian woman that has a gentle and quiet spirit. We may not understand the situation, but we're secure and we're at peace in Christ. I think of Jochebed, the mother of Moses. I'm sure she said, Lord, why did you give me a baby boy? The Egyptians are killing all of them. I don't understand this. But yet I think as we look at the life of Jochebed and what she did with Moses, I think she responded with a quiet and a gentle spirit. She didn't panic. She said, Lord, I don't understand it, but what do you want me to do in this situation? And she did it. I think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. She didn't understand. Here was this angel came and told her this. I don't understand, she said. But I think Mary, throughout her whole life, I think it bore true that she had a gentle and a quiet spirit. But it didn't mean she understood everything that went on. But she trusted. She was at peace. She was secure in her Lord. I was thinking, someone told me years ago, I think it was Queen Victoria. And I thought, this is, in a sense, the epitome of what I think of a gentle and quiet spirit. She was entertaining at her court some Middle Eastern king. And he certainly did not know the manners of her court at all. And as they were sitting there and they were finishing their meal, there were the finger bowls on the table. And, you know, there was a little lemon floating in it. And so he picked up this finger bowl and started drinking out of it. And everyone just was like this. They didn't know what to think, so they turned to Queen Victoria. And she very graciously picked up her finger bowl and began to drink. And I thought, in essence, see, that's a gentle and quiet spirit, in a sense, that, you know, anything that goes on that might not be right or might cause us to panic in any way, we respond graciously and gently and quietly. Incorruptible or imperishable, that this quality cannot pass away. It's free from the decay or theft to which earthly treasures are all exposed. The jewelry will pass away. Our hair will fade away into something else. We have to change dresses. But a gentle and quiet spirit is incorruptible. It's imperishable. Here again, gentle and quiet spirit is a constant attitude, the character of her action or reaction towards her husband and towards life in general. She shows no sign of rebellion or resentment, fuss or flurry. She is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forever. Now, that's a tall order, isn't it? How do we acquire a gentle and quiet spirit? I thought of two major ways, and on our question sheet, I hope you all can come up with some others, but there's a couple of ways I want us to really examine this morning. The first one is having a daily quiet time. Matthew 11:29 says, actually this is 28 through 30 that I'm going to share with you. Come to me and I will give you rest. All of you who work so hard beneath a heavy yoke, wear my yoke, for it fits perfectly. And let me teach you, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your souls, for I give you only light burdens. If we want to learn gentleness, if we want to have gentleness in our life, we have to go to the one who is gentle. He says, for I am gentle and lowly and humble in heart. He says, wear my yoke. Come to me. Psalm 46:10 says, cease striving and know that I am God. Shirley Rice defines a quiet time as this. It is a time set aside to deepen your knowledge of the Lord, to enrich your own personal relationship with Him, to fellowship with Him, to love Him, to worship Him on a very personal basis. How much of a calm and gentle spirit you achieve then will depend on how regularly and consistently, persistently and obediently you partake of the Word of God, your spiritual food. I think of John 15:5. He says, "If apart from me, you can do nothing." And if we desire to honor God and have a gentle and quiet spirit, then we're going to have to sit at His feet. The other day I was reading in Psalm 18. I just wanted to share with you, if you have a regular reading program or you take a book at a time and read through daily, just ask God, God, show me something today that you're saying to me. And as someone said, just kind of tap me on the shoulder as I read through and say, this is for you. And the other day, it was, in fact, day before yesterday, I was reading in Psalm 18. I just want to share a verse with you that just encouraged my heart, and I knew it was from God just from my spending a quiet time with Him. And it was Psalm 18:29. For by thee I can run upon a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. And I immediately thought of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I didn't remember this verse. For by thee I can run upon a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. And I thought, Lord, how encouraging. I can get through the day, can I? I can leap over a wall, for by my God I can do that. And I just share that because that's what we need to get when we spend time with God each day. We need to get, Lord, show me something from your word to teach me, to encourage my heart, to encourage a gentle and quiet spirit. Because if I have that confidence that I can run upon a troop or I can leap over a wall, I'm secure. I'm secure in Christ. I'm not alone. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, and that gives me a security that I would not have otherwise. Amy Carmichael has a little book entitled If, that I only read occasionally because it's a little strong. And but in it, she says, she calls, I would think, a quiet time learning about Calvary's love. And I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts. And this is something that's good to read in your quiet time along with the Word of God. She says, if a sudden jar can cause me to speak an impatient, unloving word, then I know nothing of Calvary love. If interruptions annoy me and private cares make me impatient, if I shadow the souls about me because I myself am shadowed, then I know nothing of Calvary love. And so the question we have to ask ourselves, are we learning? Do we know about Calvary's love? Are we sitting at the Savior's feet learning from Him about His love? Because this is what's going to give us a calm and gentle spirit. There's a precious woman in San Antonio who must be, I don't know how old she must be, but she writes me occasionally. I've never met her. And she sent me this poem, and I want to share it with you because it's just precious. And it just fits what we're talking about. She knew a friend who had been taking a certain medication, and as a result of this medication, it had turned her face a light purple. And the woman was very, you know, sensitive about this. And so she said that she told my friend in San Antonio that I've tried to make up for my ugliness in other ways, and she said, in fact, this poem has helped me. And here's the poem. Well, as for me, I know my face can never be made a thing of grace. So I rather think I'll see how I can fix the inside of me. So folks will say, gee, she looks like sin, but ain't she beautiful within? And that's what we want people to say in it. Ain't she beautiful within? That's what we want to work on. And the key way of doing that is just spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ daily. As I thought about this, I think the other way that's essential in having a gentle and quiet spirit is being secure in the sovereignty of God. Because if we're not grounded in that, I think then we're going to be easily thrown off track. We're going to easily panic and respond and not be gentle and quiet when things come up. Psalm 18, 30 through 35. I love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. And the thought is, who is our fortress? Who is our deliverer? Who is our refuge? Who is our shield? Who is the horn of my salvation? Who is our stronghold? It's God. There's a little cartoon, a little mouse is sticking his nose out of the mouse hole, and he says, boy, it's scary out there. The world is full of cats, and who knows what else. I wonder what folks do who don't have a refuge where they can feel safe and secure. Three cheers for mouse holes. And what is it? There's a little poster that says, yay, God. And I think unless we're secure in that refuge, that stronghold, our deliverer, then we're not going to have a gentle and quiet spirit, because quiet means that we're at rest, we're at peace, that we know God is in control. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. A.W. Tozer says, our Lord could die with the same calm in which He had lived. He had known all along how things would turn out. He knew His apparent defeat would eventuate in universal glory for the human race. Now, do we have that same confidence? See, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Now, things may seem unreal or we don't understand at the time what's going on, but do we have that confidence that God knows and that He is in control? Romans 8:28, and we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into His plans. This has got to be the rock bottom of our security in Christ. And that gives us that peace and that assurance and that security. Many of you might have seen this on a little plaque. I wanted to read it to you because it fits right in. The Lord may not have planned that this should overtake me, but He has most certainly permitted it. Therefore, though it were an attack of an enemy, by the time it reaches me, it has the Lord's permission, and therefore all is well. He will make it work together with all life's experiences for good. And I think if we don't have that vision and if we don't have that trust and that confidence, then when things come our way, and they do, don't they? Then we're not going to have a gentle and a quiet spirit in response. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man, but God is faithful, who will with the temptation also give you a way to escape that you may be able to endure it." And I think we need to have the confidence that nothing is going to happen to us, that God is not going to be with us and give us the strength to endure. He knows us, and someone said He's not going to be put more on us than we can handle. But we've got to have that confidence, and we've got to be secure in God and knowing that He does care for us and He does love us and that He's not going to put us in situations that we cannot handle with Him, that we cannot endure. I think another verse that came to mind was Deuteronomy 33:27. "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He thrusts out your enemies before you. It is He who cries, 'Destroy them.' So Israel dwells safely, prospering in a land of corn and wine, while the gentle rains descend from heaven. What blessing are yours, O Israel? Who else has been saved by the Lord? He is your shield and your helper. He is your excellent sword. Your enemies shall bow low before you, and you shall trample on their backs." Underneath are the everlasting arms. We've got to believe that. And we've got to believe that our enemies will bow low before us. Now, who are our enemies? They can be anything. They can be doubt. They can be discouragement. They can be frustration. They can be a child or a teenager that's in rebellion. They can be a husband that's not a Christian and who is very unhappy. It can be a lack of finances, any of these things that would cause a disturbance in having a gentle and quiet spirit. But we've got to have the confidence that underneath are the everlasting arms and that our enemies will be brought low. Because in that situation, then we can believe God and respond in that way with a gentle and quiet spirit. Now, this can be, I think, of anything from, you know, your children spilling milk. That can blow my gentle and quiet spirit in a minute. to having a rebellious teenager or something very severe happen to us. I don't think it takes anything great. Having my washing machine break down can destroy my gentle and quiet spirit also. There's a little cartoon, Trudy. She is all dressed up in a black dress. She has the table all fixed up. She has a rolled roast, and she has the candles lit. The table's all ready, and she's all dressed. And her husband's right up here in the corner of the cartoon talking to her on the phone. "You're going to laugh when you hear this, Trudy. Seems I got it all wrong. We're having dinner at their house tonight." Now, how would we respond? But what is precious in the sight of God? see, who are we pleasing? How are we to respond in these situations? We've got to trust God. Things that we have no control over. We've got to trust God is in control and He knows what's best. I know the plans I have for you, for welfare and not for calamity. I had a friend who, we were recently at a conference up in Colorado, and she had really looked forward to this conference, and it was a very rich time. We heard some outstanding speakers, and she got sick in the entire conference. She was in her room, sick. And she said, I went to visit her, and she said, I just don't understand why God brought me up here and had me get sick. She says, you know, I can look back now and see why I didn't get the pants I was making finished and why I couldn't find a blouse that I was trying to find. She says, I didn't need them. She still doesn't know. None of us know why she was sick during that conference, but it was unique. She could look back and see how she didn't need those things, so therefore she didn't have them. But it's just confidence. God, you're in control. I didn't want to get sick, but there's something here that you're trying to teach me. And so sometimes we don't understand, but how we respond is important. In fact, someone has said that God is more interested in circumstances to teach us responses than he is the circumstances we go through. It's how we respond in these circumstances that's more important to Him than what we go through. And that's how we grow, and that's how we mature. And we just have to believe that the most precious thing to God is a gentle and quiet spirit. Several years ago, I gave Belinda a little plaque that I've stolen from her, and it's up over my sink, and it says, Lord, you and I can handle anything together. And I've needed that plaque many times, particularly in my kitchen. But that needs to be our thinking. Lord, you and I can handle anything together. And I can respond with a gentle and quiet spirit because you are my God. You are my rock. You are my stronghold. You are my deliverer. You are my refuge. You are my shield. Now, what are some hindrances in maintaining a gentle and quiet spirit? This is my list, and I hope you can come up with some more of some areas, but these are the areas that I am most challenged in, and I wanted to just share them with you. The very first area is unconfessed sin. Psalm 32, 3 through 5 says this, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. But I thought, how many times I have groaned, my vitality was drained away, and then all of a sudden it would dawn on me to say, Lord, is there some sin in my life that I don't realize or that I have not confessed to you? And this is certainly an enemy of a gentle and quiet spirit. Now, this may be something as small as envy or jealousy, gossiping, and I know Martha shared with you about that earlier. Just anything that we might do that we have not really realized was sin, and we have not confessed it to God. So whenever we feel this way, we're not gentle and quiet, but we're uptight. Ask God, God, is there some sin in my life that I've not confessed to you? The next one is unresolved conflict, Ephesians 4:26. If you are angry, don't sin by nursing a grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Get over it quickly, for when you are angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. And I know in my own heart there is no way I can have a gentle and quiet spirit if there's some unresolved conflict with anyone else, be it a friend or with someone in our family. The other day, our son, who is 11, came in from playing outside with some neighbors. And I heard him slam the back gate, and he said, and I think you cheat too, and I don't want to play with you anymore. you know, you need to call Ann up and ask her to forgive you for your yelling at her in anger and for saying what you said to her. But she was wrong, and I was right. And I said, but you were angry, and that is wrong. You responded in anger, and you called her a name, and that is wrong. But she'll laugh at me. She and all of her friends will laugh at me if I call it. I said, but that's okay. You must have a clear conscience before God that you have done what God has asked you to do. And I shared Ephesians 4:26 with him. If you're angry, don't sin by nursing a grudge. And I said, Michael, you're not going to bed angry. Because I said, that's something we don't do at our house. We do not go to bed angry. Well, after much consternation, a little prayer, and my dialing the number. I wrote out for him what he was to say. Bless his heart, I did. He had this little sheet of paper and he was shaking. But he talked to Ann and he said, Ann, I was wrong in being angry at you and in saying what I said. Will you forgive me? And he said, yes. And he said, okay, yes, bye, and hung up. And he turned to me and he had a little half smile on his face. And I said, well, what did she say? And he said, she said, I was wrong too. Will you forgive me? And I just thanked the Lord for that, because that's what reconciliation is all about. But I feel strongly enough in my own heart and in my children's lives that we cannot have unresolved conflict in our lives. And let me just share with you, many times, in fact, now we can laugh about it. Earlier we couldn't. But Jack and I will kiss goodnight, we'll turn out the light, we'll pray, turn out the light, and Jack rolls over, and then I'll say, Jack, can we talk? And I almost make it before we go to bed, but not quite. Before we go to sleep is the way I interpret the verse. But I know I cannot go to sleep if there's something unresolved in our relationship, and I know that I need to do it. And a lot of times Jack's not even aware of it, but yet it's a problem in my heart, and I need to share it with him. And so I'm praying I can get it done before the light goes out, maybe, but sometimes I don't make it quite then. But unresolved conflict in any area of our life is a hindrance to our maintaining a gentle and quiet spirit. The next one I thought of was self-pity. I'm real good at this. The verses I chose were these, Proverbs 21:9-19. It is better to live in the corner of an attic than with a crabby woman in a lovely home. Better to live in the desert than with a quarrelsome, complaining woman. And I thought, really, if we're quarrelsome and complaining and crabby, we're into ourselves, aren't we? And our focus is on ourselves. It's not on the Lord. It's not on other people. But this is the way it comes out. And so I just want to encourage us, whenever we start getting crabby and complaining, Lord, this is a hindrance to a gentle and quiet spirit. Show me what I need to do. Forgive me for this. What am I upset about? What am I into? What am I worried about? Whatever it might be, let this be a sign to us. This is a major hindrance to having a gentle and quiet spirit. The next one is anxiety. I think there are many, many things that we can be anxious about today. But I don't think it's any different. I mentioned Jochebed, the mother of Moses. At least we don't have soldiers coming around trying to kill our babies. There was a major move Jack and I made out here 3.5 years ago, and we came out here with no guarantee of a job, which would have been a cause for anxiety, I think. But we knew it was God's will for us to move out here, so we moved out trusting God. He has provided. And so that's why Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, have no anxiety about anything. And let me tell you why that verse says that. It's because God did not create our bodies for anxiety. He did not create our bodies to hold anxiety. That's why there are ulcers. That's why there's nervous breakdowns. Our bodies cannot handle anxiety. Now, I know it sounds really neat for me to stand up here and say, do not be anxious. That's almost too easy. But yet, in a sense, I want us to begin to realize and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When we begin to be anxious about something, be it finances or our children or our home or whatever it might be, God, quiet my heart. Have no anxiety about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what the Christian life is all about. And that's what a gentle and quiet spirit is all about. It's that when we learn, so we go back to that original quiet time when we're coming to Him day in and day out, reading and praying and presenting our requests to Him. The natural result is the peace of God in our hearts and in our minds, which is a gentle and quiet spirit. The next one is neglecting responsibilities. I put this one down because when I have not done what I need to do, I get frustrated and I find myself not being able to respond in a gentle and quiet way. Now, this can be even like writing letters. If there are letters I have not written, if the wash has not been done, if the house has not been done like it should do, you know, I can handle it for a pretty long time, I guess. But after a while, it gets to me, and I begin to get irritable. I get irritable at Jack and at the children, and I think, now, wait a minute, Lord, why am I irritable? And then I think, well, it's because I have not done this. It's because I have not done my responsibilities. And I know Martha shared with you in 1 Timothy 3:11, the last part of that verse is that a wife is to be faithful in everything they do. I just thought that was a good verse for this. What are our responsibilities? What is our role? And are we being faithful in it? Because I know in my own life, if I'm not, then I'm not able to maintain a gentle and quiet spirit. And I know just spending a time just getting some letters written has just relieved me so much, and my whole personality changes. So I just want to encourage us that we need to keep up with our responsibilities, because a lot of times this can enter in and hinder a gentle and quiet spirit. The last area is fatigue. Psalm 127:2 is beautiful. This is in the Living. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for He gives to His beloved, even in His sleep, and this is the last part of the Living, and for God wants His loved ones to get their proper rest. Now, when we get to going 90 miles an hour and we don't get enough rest, I know in my own life I cannot be a Christian. I cannot have a gentle and quiet spirit when I'm tired. So we need to examine our schedule. I think another important thing is exercise. Have some form. A psychiatrist says that exercise is one of the major ways of getting rid of a lot of your frustrations. And just being tired and not keeping a regular schedule and not getting enough rest can really hinder a gentle and quiet spirit in our own lives. Hannah Whitehall Smith, in her book, The Christian Secret of Happy Life, has this to say about a gentle and quiet spirit. I have noticed that wherever there has been a faithful following of the Lord and a consecrated soul, several things have sooner or later inevitably followed. Meekness and quietness of spirit become in time the characteristics of the daily life. A submissive acceptance of the will of God as it comes in the hourly events of each day is manifested. Pliability in the hands of God to do or to suffer all the good pleasure of His will. Sweetness under provocation. Calmness in the midst of turmoil and bustle. A yielding to the wishes of others and an insensibility to slights and affronts. Absence of worry or anxiety. Deliverance from care and fear. All these and many other similar graces are invariably found to be the natural outward development of that inward life which is hid with Christ in God. Now, each of us spent time this morning getting dressed and adorning ourselves. We fixed our hair, we put on some jewelry, and we put on some clothes. That's very necessary, and we need to do that. But the Scripture says, don't let this be your only adorning. So the same way as we put on all of this, are we putting on a gentle and quiet spirit? This says this is an ornament to a woman. This is our adorning. Do we take the time to sit before God, to spend time with Him, to adorn our inner self? It's just as important as anything else we do. You know, we're just not well dressed if we haven't done that. The Phillips translates 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4 as this. Your beauty should not be dependent on an elaborate coiffure or on the wearing of jewelry or fine clothes, but on the inner personality, the unfading loveliness of a calm and gentle spirit, a thing very precious in the eyes of God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You that You're very specific about what You desire in a woman. I thank You that You do not leave us helpless in acquiring or growing into a gentle and quiet spirit, but that, Lord, You are the one who imparts this to us as we spend time with You and begin to reflect Your spirit and Your glory in our own lives. Lord, I pray that the women of this church would be known as women with a gentle and quiet spirit who honors You. And Lord, as we know, we're each one very precious in Your sight. And I just pray, Lord, that we would trust You, we would love You, and we would serve You with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.